You're listening to Principal Broadcasting, featuring the League of Professionals with Muriel Donnelly, weekdays 10 to 4 p.m. with current topics to elevate your career to the next level.
John Stevens here on Principal Broadcasting, and today I have a very special guest with me this afternoon, Dr. Joseph O'Connell. He is a board-certified plastic surgeon out of Westport, Connecticut, and today we are going to learn a little bit about his practice, the Aesthetic Center of Connecticut. Let's welcome to the show Dr. O'Connell.
Thanks for having me, John.
You're very welcome. Plastic surgery, one of my favorite topics. So yeah. I figured we'd dive right in. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what specific plastic surgical procedures you provide to the people of Westport?
Well, John, we've seen really, I think, a change in the landscape in the last 3 years, certainly over the last five, where we're moving into an era of what I call non-invasive or minimally invasive plastic surgery.
Right.
And our national numbers reflect that. They're about tenfold, the surgical procedures. They dwarf the surgical procedures. And we're at the stage now where a lot of non-invasive or minimally invasive alternatives are viable choices for patients who either want to maybe defer surgery, kick that can down the road a few years, or maybe even avoid it altogether. They hate that S word, I guess.
I think that brings up an interesting point. Do you think that kind of opens up your pool of patients to maybe people who would have normally not even considered plastic surgery based on the fact that it's a major surgical procedure in some cases and they just don't feel comfortable doing that? To where if it's non-invasive, a little less scarring maybe, faster recovery time, does that kind of open the door up to more people being interested in doing this?
Absolutely. You know, and when CoolSculpt, which is really the market leader in non-invasive body contouring, came out 6 years ago, that was one selling point that the manufacturer really stressed strongly. And I got to be honest with you, a lot of plastic surgeons were skeptical about that. We thought maybe we'd end up just, parasitizing our own liposuction patients.
Right.
But it really was not the case. There really is this other market out there of people who don't want surgery or want a quick, non-invasive alternative. And they're willing to take the disadvantage, which is effectiveness,
right,
in terms of the advantages, which is lower cost, lower risk, sometimes minimal to no recovery, et cetera, et cetera.
What sort of procedures can be used in a non-invasive way? Like, are we talking stuff like liposuction, breast augmentations? What sort of procedures can be used this way?
Well, those are actually still in the invasive realm. We consider
right.
those surgical procedures. So the number one plastic surgery procedure in terms of the invasive realm in 2016 was breast aug. Liposuction is actually pretty far down the list. You know, breast aug, we had about 300,000 of them in America, in the U.S.
Wow.
Liposuction last year had about 235,000, still up there. Similar to rhinoplasty. But in terms of non-invasive, we sort of divided into two realms. We divided into the face and the body. And in terms of the body, it's basically fat removal and skin tightening. And fat removal, I feel CoolSculpt is the market leader. Allergan just bought that company for $2.5 billion a couple of months ago.
Oh, doggy.
They paid over sticker for it. That's the fat freezer that actually melts fat away over about a three-month period. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Right. I actually have not. That was going to be my next question. I was going to ask you, what is CoolSculpt?
CoolSculpt has a very interesting phenomenon where they determined that if you freeze fat to a certain temperature, believe it or not, it turns out, just dumb luck, that fat is a really easy tissue to kill. You'd think Murphy's
wow.
Law would dictate otherwise, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But you can get rid of fat without damaging nerves, blood vessels, skin, muscle, etc. And it turns out there are many ways you can kill fat, but freezing it is, I think, the safest and most effective way, and that's why CoolSculpt's become the market leader.
Now, Dr. O'Connell, do you take a patient? Do you dump him in a freezer? I mean, how does this work?
No, it's a machine. It's an incredibly sophisticated machine that
okay.
monitors temperature and suction, et cetera, with a lot of fail safes. Yeah, it's a very, very complicated machine.
And is this one of those non-invasive things? This isn't something that would necessarily take much preparation or much recovery time afterwards?
You know, what we love about CoolSculpt is there's really no recovery whatsoever.
Oh, beautiful.
I tell my patients they can go to the gym the next day.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, they could probably even go that day if they wanted to.
Wow.
And there's no incision, no anesthesia, no scarring. And even though it's only about maybe 30 to 50% as powerful as liposuction, when patients hear the alternatives, they say, you know, I'll either do it that way or I'll start with that.
Right.
I hear that all the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the thinking there is they can give it a test run, and if they don't like the results, liposuction is always an option afterwards.
Yeah, and we thought that we'd be seeing patients that really converted to that, but I've got to tell you, we've had it now 5 years, and we have not been seeing that at all. There's almost no takers.
Wow.
Also, very few.
Now, is there any pain in the procedure, or is it pain-free?
No, it's really pain-free.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. Now, what other how do I word this? What do you see as far as demographics in the terms of people coming in for this specific procedure? Do you notice a lot of it? Are we talking middle-aged men, the elderly, adolescents?
Yeah, the age group is really all over the place because it doesn't matter your age. If you have fat, you have fat.
Right.
But what we've seen with CoolSculpt is we've really seen for the first time in plastic surgery a procedure that is equally popular with men as it is with women. Because, you know, us guys, we hate those love handles.
Yes, we do. Hate them.
And it works so well. And a lot of the guys just don't have an interest in surgery because they're working, they can't take time off, they don't want to wear a binder, et cetera. So they're looking for the quick fix. To being a typical guy, I can attest to that myself.
Just to switch gears a little bit, I wanted to ask you something regarding the work that you do. I've always thought of plastic surgery as such a cool thing, in a sense of, you know, I've seen Botched and I've seen shows like Nip Tuck, and I go to my normal physician all the time. It's kind of a mix of both medicine, which you practice, which I'm sure you're highly trained in, but also, you know, it's kind of artsy in the sense that you got to have that aesthetic eye to kind of see what's going to look good on a certain person.
John, you're totally right about that. You know, plastic surgeons, we have board-certified plastic surgeons have a minimum of 4 years of medical school and then 6 to 7 years of residency training in the surgical discipline, including plastic surgery after medical school. So I've had 11 years of training. And believe it or not, during our residency, we have art training. We learn about aesthetics, the body is in certain proportions. And in our ongoing education, I've had a great opportunity to actually take art courses, including sculpture courses, with some very renowned sculptors.
Wow.
To hone our skills. It really is something that we do, and we have sculpture sessions for the trainees, and we take it very, very seriously. And you should see the talent that some of these plastic surgeons have in terms of their artistic skills. You wouldn't believe it.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, after all, you know, if I'm a painter or if I'm a sculptor and I mess up on a piece, I could just kind of scrap it away, toss it in the trash can, and start over again. You're sculpting human bodies here, which sometimes, right, I imagine, especially stuff like liposuction and maybe breast augmentations, is once the damage is done, there's really no rewind button. Like, you can't rewind it and kind of go back to the way it was, right?
Well, you mentioned Botched. I mean, unfortunately, there is a market for secondary plastic surgery, but it's hard to undo bad plastic surgery, as you
right.
probably realize by now. And, it even applies to the face, because a lot of what we're seeing in the realm of underqualified and even non-qualified individuals doing aesthetic procedures are working on face, doing things like Botox and fillers. And the fillers can cause problems. Botox is extremely safe, but the fillers, you really have to have an artistic eye. And
right.
those can require some revision work as well.
Now, I've always wanted to ask this of a surgeon. I really have. But I am dying to know, from start to finish with your schooling and everything like that, how long is it before you actually get to put scalpel to skin?
Well, we start in medical school with dog lab, second year medical school,
right.
And it's I went to Cornell, so it's, and they have a vet school, so it's extremely closely supervised. And I'm also a dog lover, so we don't want to do anything that would ever hurt a dog.
Right, of course.
And then I remember, and then actually you're basically a very close apprentice after that in your third and fourth year of medical school, working with surgeons. You know, you usually don't get to put the scalpel to the skin, but, you know, you get to do very, very, very minor parts of operations as you work your way up the ladder. And the same thing applies to residency. And then as you work up the residency chain, you're actually doing more and more and more. I couldn't even tell you the first time I actually put scalpel to skin. But, you know, it's just one of those things you just do a little bit more every day as you progress through the ranks.
And then once, of course, you get out of that, you open a private practice, then you're a master of plastic surgery.
Well, I tell you, I say to my patients, you know, there isn't a day that goes by where I don't learn something new, believe it or not, and I'm 62 years old.
I don't doubt that at all.
I absolutely don't. Thing.
Now, we unfortunately do have to end the show in just about a minute, but I wanted to ask you, where can people find your services online? Do you have a website or a Facebook page or anything like that?
We have all of that, but we have a master website, which is plasticsurgeryct.com, as in Connecticut,
right.
plasticsurgeryct.com.
So I imagine from that website, plasticsurgeryct.com, they can get to your Facebook, they can get to your Twitter, anything you guys got is on there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, we're doing a lot on Instagram these days. That's the hot social media tool.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Everybody
now
loves the Instagram.
Yeah. Being a photographer, I love to put stuff on Instagram.
That's great. I just hope, I hope it's not too gory, though.
No, I don't do that stuff. Nope.
Fantastic. Dr. Joseph O'Connell, thank you so much for coming on and just giving us a little insight into your professional world. We really appreciate it. And, of course, wish you the best of luck.
John, thanks for having me.
This is Principal Broadcasting, the professional's choice.